should be back already. Okay, continuing in the last halacha, we're in chapter 11, halacha 18, in the laws of Mechira. It's the last law of Asmachna. It's quite an unusual law over here. Already mentioned in the past, there are certain times when we don't even require to have a kinyan, but we just do it anyway, even though la halacha, we don't need to have a kinyan. Let's say someone wants to forgo a debt or something like that. You really don't need a kinyan. This is a most unusual situation that really isn't so necessary, but some rabbis insisted on doing it to be on the safe side. Kishahoyu Chachmei Sfarad Rotzim Lahaknos Basmachta. When the Sephardic rabbis wanted to have something acquired through the process of as an asmachta, as a chumrah. What do you mean as a chumrah? Because the kinyan was already made to be retroactive. So that's not even an asmachta. Although there is a condition, but it really wasn't an asmachta, but they want to be strict on it. This is what they would do. Let's say one guy says that he's chayiv to pay a fellow 100 dinars. And he didn't make any conditions at all. Right? And they make a kinyan with him. And after the guy himself said himself, I'm going to pay this guy 100 dinar. And he makes a kinyan for it now. Koni mi bal chova. The rabbis then make a kinyan from the supposed creditor to the one that he is mechayev for, even though mechila, let's say he's being moichol on something or whatever, don't really need a kinyan, but they did it to strengthen this process so the guy won't say later on, I was joking you. In other words, we want to just, remember we said, we make a kinyan. Guy says, you know, here, I'm going to give you $100. And you really don't need to make a kinyan on that. But the reason we make the kinyan is so the guy can't later on say that he's joking with him. So the rabbis are strict on all these aspects of a kinyan. And they say like this, and the guy, after he obliges himself to make a kinyan, she calls man shia kach, as long as this is the state, as long as this happens, o shiyase kach, or this happens, the chov is forgiven. Meyachshir from now. Seems the guy's making some kind of a tanai that if certain thing happens, then I'll be meichel on the debt retroactively. So that's not really even an asmachta. And yet we're afraid maybe the guy was joking, and therefore we go through the process of a kinyan. Vim lo yeh, lo yas, or if this thing doesn't happen, or you don't do it, Hareini tovo b'momen shechayev atzmavo. I'm going to claim the money that the guy is chayev to me. In other words, he says, I'm going to forego a debt if such and such happens, and if not, I'm not going to forego the debt. But they still made a kinyan with all that, and they would make such a kinyan, and therefore it was enforceable, even though it wasn't necessary. He's just saying that was what the Chachmei Sfarad would do. That even though it really wasn't so it's an asmachta, really it's a borrowed term. So asmachta isn't us in as much as maybe he would be kidding him. So to make sure that he's not kidding him, they would make a kinyan, and it's a very strong kinyan that they're making. It's even with a condition, but it's not really an asmachta. This is the same way they would do all conditions that a man would make with a woman before they were getting married. Anything similar to that, the rabbis would be strict in making these types of kinyanim, even though they're not really asmachtas. Okay, we move now to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is exclusively going to discuss the issue of ona'ah. If someone gets cheated in a business deal, what are the halachas? We're not talking about a mekach to'os. We're not going to be talking about a false, representation of something. Selling something, saying it's one thing, it's not a thing. This is all having to do, merely the topic of this chapter is price and overcharging. And at what level do we say that the overcharging nullifies the sale and it's retroactively null and void? At what point do we say the sale is 100% fine? And at what point do we say the sale is fine, but the extra has to be returned? And that's this entire chapter coming up. Well, we have who we have. So we start with the basic halacha, Aleph. Asur la mocher o la kone. It's a prohibition both from the seller side and from the buyer side. It goes either way. Lahonos es chavero, to cheat another friend when it comes to the price. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'simkaru mimkor lamisecha, if you will sell something that's sellable to another Jew, o kano miyadamisecha, or purchase from a fellow Jew, al tonu, you shall not wrong him in terms of the price. Now, this is a negative commandment. If you willfully overcharge somebody and you know you're overcharging, you are clearly transgressing a negative commandment. However, even though you have transgressed a negative commandment, you do not get lashed for this. Why don't you get lashed for it? Because it's something that can be repaired and paid back. You can pay back the onah. That's called a lav hanita klase, a lav that can be corrected with an ase. And as long as the ase can fix it up afterwards, there's no lashes over here. So no one gets lashes for overcharging. Ubein shahayna b'meis, it doesn't matter if you overcharged intentionally, bein shalo yoda shiesh berchazana, or whether you didn't even know that you overcharged. You really didn't think you were overcharging. You thought it was a good price. We'll see how we'll find out later that you did overcharge, but it's merely unintentional. Either way, chayiv l'shalem, you have to pay back under certain circumstances where there's an overcharge. So overcharging is prohibited. It's very easy to rectify the situation. You pay back the overcharge. Fine. Beis. V'kama tehei honaya. And what is the amount that is considered overcharging? Okay, there's going to again be three levels. There's the level of overcharging. There's the level beyond overcharging. And there's a level below overcharging. We're going to explain each and every one of these levels. And there's different ways you can make the calculations. And we're going to see from the rabbis that we make the calculation in every way possible. As follows. What is considered financially cheating on the price to the extent that you have to return the money? So here is the basic rule. Shtus bishave. It is 1/6 of the price. Exactly 1/6. Okay, it could be 1/6 of the value of the item being sold, or 1/6 of the price that was given. It can go either way. The item cost this and you overcharged 1/6, or the amount that was given was more, as we'll see in a minute. So you can figure out, it's two different ways of figuring out 1/6. It's a machlok, it's a gemara. We hold either way will work out as a sixth. Kate said, let's have an example. Hare shemochar shava shesh. Somebody sold something that was worth six. It cost really $6, but he sold it b'chamesh, but he sold it for five. Okay, so who lost out on the deal? The buyer or the seller? The seller. It can happen both ways. We only think the seller is always the one overcharging. Sometimes the seller may, by mistake, ticket the item. We're not talking about a sale. We're not talking where he willfully is charging less. It's where he mistakenly charged less. The going rate out on the market was six, and for whatever reason, he made a mistake and sold it at five.
The buyer took advantage.
And the buyer was very happy to get it at a low.
Mistake versus he was...
If he's saying, I know it's worth five, six, and I'm willing to take a loss of five, and I'm moichel the loss of five, it's a fire sale five, that we're not talking about that. We're talking where the guy, he wants to sell it as what the market price should be, and for whatever reason, he didn't read the financial post that just said that the price has dropped, or price has gone up. Whatever. It's an item that should be sold at six. And as a businessman, he would want to sell it at six.
Could have been.
And he could have sold at six. And for whatever reason, he sold it at five. At the time, he may not have realized he was making a mistake, but soon enough, he will find out he made a mistake. And therefore, he undercharged by 1/6 based on the price of what it's worth. It's worth 6, so each dollar is 1/6, so he undercharged 1/6. Oh, or let's say shava sheva, or let's say the item was worth 7, bishesh, and he sells it for 6. Again, the seller is losing out, but here the 6 is done in relationship to the item itself, all right, for the amount of money that was given. It was given 6 and was worth 7. So now the 6 works the other way. So we work this 6 either way, okay? Either he sold something for 6 for 5, or he sold something that was worth 7 for 6. Either way, he is undercharging by whatever way we can calculate the 1/6. Or the reverse can happen. Oh, shava chamish, he sold something worth 5, bishesh, and he sold it for 6. This time, the buyer is the one who's losing out. From the 6 that he's paying 1/6 more than what he actually paid. Oh, shava shesh, bishesh, or something worth 6, he paid 7. So from the original 6, he's paying 1/6 more than that. This is, and that's the exactly 1/6. Harei zehona. This is called cheating on the deal. And the loch is as follows. However, v'nikna hamikach, but the sale is a sale. No one can back out of the deal. But v'chayev hamis'ana, the one who has been wronged, or the one who has wronged, l'shalem es ha'anoya, he has to pay the overcharge or the undercharge based on whatever's going on over there. Ulachsira kula mesana, has to pay totally back to the one who lost out. So when it's exactly 1/6, you have to keep the deal and you can't back out of it unless both parties would like to back out of it. Okay? Let's say even though the guy got cheated, he says, you know, now that you think about it, let's just forget the deal. No, I'm gonna give you the extra dollar and the deal's a deal. So if when we're at exactly 1/6, the deal's a deal, and we just make up the dollar, whatever, and now it was sold at the regular price. Could be the man selling was hoping to cheat the guy out of a dollar, maybe even intentionally tried to cheat him. But once we find out he's cheating him, the deal stays a deal, because we're not going to say, well, give it back and I'll find another sucker later who won't be so smart enough to find out that I overcharged him. The deal stays a deal. You just compensate the loss, and now a fair deal has happened. Okay, that is when it is exactly at the 1/6 level. Yes, sir?
I don't know if we'll get into this a little after, potentially what we're talking about right here, but for example, let's say my business, you have somebody could come into my showroom and see a dress and said, I saw that exact same dress at another showroom because these goods were made in China, and it was much cheaper. So why are you charging me so much money for
this
dress?
Because this is what it costs me to make. I hire Canadian workers, and I'm, you know, and that's the fair market value for something made in Canada.
So all you have to do is give a justification, you're saying. It's all
yeah,
about
I
the
mean,
price.
You can't, you know, there's got, there. This is, hold the whole, Ram is not getting into how do we determine the price, not yet at least, but there's got to be a way of determining what the price is. This is what the price would be for such a dress. Now, if you're making it in Canada and everybody else makes it in Canada and everyone's charging $100 for the dress and you're charging $200 for the dress, now you have a problem.
You have to compare
apples to apples. A dress made in China is not a dress made in Canada. It's two different quality workmanship. It's not the same dress. You can't compare the two items over there. So we've got to compare apples to apples.
You may have more overhead, you may be inefficient, you may be in a higher rent area.
You know, and then there can be a range also. You know, there's a range, and, you know, you can always say this is the price. But for what your expenses are and for what your needs are, this would be the reasonable price. Now we're going to have to see how we could find out that you are overcharging or not. The Gemara will get that. However, the Gemara lived in a much more simplistic world. I believe in the days of the Gemara, we didn't deal with issues like overhead and things like this. It was pretty straightforward.
It was a market price.
So, but there has to be, I don't know, I guess, even in many industries, a market price. Shelley, is there a market price on personal computers? Is that?
You don't have to worry about 1/6. Nobody's making that much margin on this.
No, it's overcharging.
I say, no one's going to be overcharging. It's so competitive that...
Okay, maybe in the jewelry industry, maybe. I don't know.
But okay. The thing is, you can't compare apples to apples. So, I mean,
yeah, but there has to be some way to compare. Let's do simple. You buy fruit at Sobeys, and you're buying fruit at No Frills.
Quality, Longo's is different.
But let's say it's Sobeys. The same fruit. You know, it says
place,
pears from, I don't even know where the pears come from. Chile.
Chile
Bosco pears. I don't know. It's the same pears. All right. Then you could theoretically say.
Look at Ontario strawberries or blueberries, let's say, okay? All right, you go up north.
Well, let's do simple. The price of gas. The price of gas, they tell you at night, the price of gas tomorrow is going to be $1.19.9, right? So now if a guy, it will be 6% of that. That would be about
six.
10 cents. No, a six. No, a six. So it's about 20 cents. I don't know. Let's say 20 cents. I don't know.
I filled up for 1 dollar.
So if let's say the guy charges you $1.50 for the liter, then you know he's overcharging you. That's a pretty relative good mark because that's what everybody's selling gas that day. So that's the price of gas. So now this guy's charging $1.50, then you know he's charging you more. Right.
Plane ticket to Florida in December versus now.
Yeah, but things cost different based on supply and demand. The market will fluctuate, and that's okay. In peak season, the price goes up. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's not just about your cost. It's about
what is the market value at this time of year, and you know there's a reasonable market value. Okay. Anyway. What if the amount of the cheating is less than 1/6? Okay? Becholshu, at any amount, even with like a fraction less, it's a sixth minus 0.1, let's say. But he's saying, the point he's saying is anything less than a sixth. Doesn't have to be far away from a sixth. Anything that's less than a sixth, kigon, for example, shemachar shova shivim dinar. Let's say he sold something that normally you should charge 60 dinar. Okay? And he sold it b'chamishim upruta. He sells it for 50 dinars plus a pruta. Now, if he sold it at 50, then it would have been exactly 1/6, and he'd have to return it. But he charged him 50 plus a pruta. So now he's a little less than a sixth in overcharging. And that pruta is an important amount because if it's not a pruta, if it's less than a pruta, we don't count that. Ein achayev lahachzer chum. You don't have to give anything back. And because the assumption is there's mechila for that amount. Anything less than a sixth, people are moichel on it. Shekol shepachas mishtus, ein es less than a six. Derech achol limchol bo, it's the way of all to be moichel on it, because that's the way of business, because you can't be so precise on this. Even when you're talking about large amounts of money, if less than a sixth, people aren't that particular on that. Okay.
It would be about cash.
Well, whatever. Okay. Okay. Now, Gimel. So far we've done exactly a sixth, and we've done less than a sixth. So now we have to do the next situation. More than a sixth. Dalet. Haisa noya yaseir al shus bichol shu. What if the cheating is any amount more than 1/6? Kigon shemachar shava shishim. You sold something worth 60, and you sold it for a pruta less than 50. Okay? So now you sold it for, you. The seller got cheated more than the sixth. Okay, it could go either way, all right? But we just chose that way. So in other words, then we say, botal mikach. The sale is null and void. Vamis'ana yochol lahachzer achefes. The guy got cheated out. He can return the object. He doesn't acquire it. He gets his money back. And the deal is done. Aval hama'ana also, but the guy who cheated him, ain't a yochel achzer. He's not the one who's allowed to go back. In other words, let's say the guy got cheated, said, I'm happy to be cheated with that. So, you know, so the guy who cheated him, you know, even we'll see, there could be situations later on where maybe he'd want to back out of it. You'll see what happens if the price goes up afterwards. And he said, you know what, I really cheated you, I want to back out of the deal. No. So only the one who gets cheated can back out. Maybe, you know what, he's happy to have the item, even at an overpriced thing, because it was hard to get the item, he needs the item right now. It's not worth it for him to undo the deal and go somewhere else and save a few pennies on it. So the guy who's cheated, has been cheated, has the option to nullify the sale and bring it back to zero. The guy who cheated has no rights over here. Now, v'imratzazeh v'kibel, and if this one who was cheated and he accepts the deal and he doesn't claim anything, v'afalpi shabbat lamikach, even though fundamentally the sale should be nullified, but it doesn't have to be nullified. Okay, one second. What if the guy who cheated said, I want the deal to stay, but I want the guy who cheated me to pay me the difference? At that point, the guy said, friend, the deal is finished. Either you take the deal the way it is, or we undo the deal. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, you cheated me, I want to keep the deal, and now you're going to give me the extra money and make it a good deal. That you don't do. In other words, if it's exactly at a shtus, at a 1/6, the deal stays, and you just pay it back, and that's it. If it was more than a shtus, the loser is entitled to nix the deal, but he's not entitled to say, let's keep the deal and give me back the money I want to make it work. Either you back out of the deal, or you don't back out of the deal. Okay?
Yeah,
what? That's very right.
Why can't he keep the deal and get back the overpayment?
Because that's what I said. I don't want to sell it to you for that. The deal is not a deal. You're not happy. You felt you got
exactly
cheated. You felt less than a sixth.
But if it was exactly.
Well, then we say it's close enough, so the deal stays. But this is way overcharged. Overcharged, we can be happily nullify the deal for you. But now the guy would... First of all, the guy could make a little more money on somebody else charging a little more, even less than a shtus, right? So let's say the guy charged the fellow more than a sixth. Okay, but now you want to make the deal be an equal deal. He could turn around the seller and sell to somebody and charge a little less than a shtus and make more money. So therefore, if you don't like the deal, we cancel the deal. But you can't change the terms of the deal. That's the law.
Overcharge really get penalized? It just gets reversed. It's just like
it depends on the situation here.
If
he way overcharged, the deal is buttle. That's
right,
all. So now go back to square one, find a new seller.
It's not really a penalty. You're breaking the law of overcharging, and all you're doing is just
we're just correcting the law. We're just correcting the mistake.
There seems to be some sort of knas for doing that.
Well, first of all, we don't know if he did it on purpose or not, and it's hard to prove such a thing. You can never prove such a thing. I can only say I made a mistake. How are you able to prove that? So the best we can do is just rectify. It's not a case of thievery where a guy walks in someone's houses and takes something, says, oh, I didn't know I couldn't take your thing. Right? It's not the same as Geneva, although we would always think that the people selling are ganavs, but they may not be ganavs. They may be bad businessmen. We don't know. We just don't know. It's not something we can clearly say we know for sure the fellow was bad, and therefore we don't have the liberty to do this. Now, it's interesting. The next line technically starts halacha hey. even though it's in the middle of halacha dalad, the next line officially starts halacha hey, or unofficially. Ein hamisaneh chayev lahachsir, the cheater, okay, is not obliged to give back anything else. Chayev lahachsir at shtei ha-honoya yoser al ha-pruta. The cheating has to be more than a pruta. Okay? It's got to be a pruta plus. Then that's amount of cheating, and then you've got to pay back the amount of cheating. Hoysa pruta b'shav, it's exactly one pruta. Ein amachsir, you don't pay back. She'ein honoya l'prutos. There's no such thing as honoya for prutos. That's too insignificant. If I overcharged, if I charged you a shtus more, and plus a pruta is too negligible to deal with, and nothing is to be said over there. Either you keep the deal the way it is, and I'll pay you back, or that's it, but we don't nullify the deal based on that. That's not significant enough. What we're going to learn tomorrow is, how much time does the purchaser have to determine that he's been cheated? Like, what, can he come back a week later, a month later, a day later? Now, the seller also, how much time does he have in terms of understanding he's been cheated?
The price will change over time, too.
And that becomes another issue. And what happens if the price changed afterwards? That becomes